Guys, these are just some geeks who lost some weight once. They are not healthcare experts. Take any or all of their advice with a pinch of salt, but not too much salt. That would be really bad for you. Always consult your doctor or a healthcare professional before you start any new diet or fitness regime. I know Sandra from work lost most of her bingo wings by being on the latest fad diet, but that may not be the best thing for you. Anyway, sweetie, enjoy the show.
Hello, and welcome to Warrior Needs Food Badly, the health and fitness podcast for those of us that know that megabytes aren't just what you do when you chomp into a giant burger. I'm Mark, and with me to discuss this week's topic of good ways to start getting healthy are my venerable co-hosts, Paul.
Hello.
And Matt.
Hello there.
So taking your first steps in anything can be quite a daunting and confusing experience and can sometimes be worse than actually doing the task itself. For instance, this is my second attempt at an intro. I was so nervous about doing the first one on the fly, I managed to botch it massively. It turns out that I'm not unlike Ron Burgundy. I can't narrate an introduction unless it's written fully down in front of me. Luckily for me, the lads came up with that idea and it was a decent way of getting around my introduction angst. So here's hoping that we as a group can come up with some solutions to help you get started becoming a better you. So guys, here's my first question on this topic. What do you think good ways of getting more healthy and active and making it less daunting for someone starting out?
Stop being fat. First one.
Useful, helpful. Anyway, that's the end of the show. Done.
Honestly, for me, Mark, you ride your exercise bike.
Yeah.
Paul, you go running. Me, good ways. I guess for me, it's eating is where I'm going to have to start. Portion sizes and looking at the actual intake of calories and food. Like I don't watch anything that goes into my body apart from being pretty specific on, you know, I don't eat processed foods. I've got a very limited diet. I don't eat fruit. I don't eat vegetables. I don't drink milk. I don't eat cheese. I'm a very meat and potatoes guy. So maybe getting a bit of more of the healthier stuff into my diet, and actually paying attention to the amount of calories, I guess. I know Paul going to Weight Watchers, that's something that, although it's a point-based system, it's still kind of a calorie thing.
Correct, yes.
So I think the exercise side of it, for me, is incredibly, incredibly difficult. I've got three children. I work in London, so I leave the house at 7:30 in the morning. I'm often not back until 8 o'clock at night. I then have to contend with getting the children into bed and then begin to cook a healthy meal. So it's often that I don't eat until, you know, around about 10 or 11 p.m. at night.
So finding time to get moving, as it were.
Yeah, I mean, making time in the diary to, like in your case, get on an exercise bike, or Paul getting up early at 5 o'clock in the morning to go on a run, just isn't. I've got to accept the fact.
It seems just that, isn't that at the moment to you seems a crazy idea to kind of, you know, like you say, get up at silly in the morning, or, you know, sort of take time out of other areas to fit in some exercise. Yeah.
Yeah. So that, I mean, that's the daunting side of it to me, is that if I did that, there would have to be either a massive lifestyle change or a trip to the adoption place to give the kids away.
Yeah, that might be a bit extreme, mate.
Which is pretty drastic measures. So,
although give it some thought.
Sorry. That's Carrie, Uncle Paul.
There we go.
So, from a lifestyle perspective, I think I'm very different from you two just on that one factor. You both don't have any children.
I think that you're not necessarily coming from somewhere that was too different from where Paul and I maybe started out, really. I mean, I felt I had no time and I couldn't fit it in. And I had to look at areas where I could fit in the downtime to fit in the exercise. But I also had to look at maybe what I could get rid of and that wasn't actually helping me. So I ended up, like, I was playing a lot of video games, right? I was sitting down, I was on the sofa and I was behind the pad and I'd play 3-4 hours straight after I came in from work. Wouldn't think twice about it. And then I thought to myself, actually, this is wasted time. You know, what I could be doing is I could be sat on my exercise bike, pedaling away. I could still have the control pad in my hand. and I could use that to engage my brain and take my mind off my legs whirring around. And I could actually do both things at the same time. It took a little bit of practice and, you know, like playing, trying not to kick the ball every time I was trying to play FIFA while I was on the exercise bike was pretty difficult, you know, because it didn't end up making me tip my bike over.
Like games involving times. Precision might be a bit of a problem.
Yeah, but then having said that, I started playing stuff like Civilization Revolution and kind of turn-based strategies and stuff, and that kind of eased me into it. And sometimes you have to look at maybe adjust. Unfortunately, you're coming to it from a point of view of like, no, this is set in stone, you know, mentality. And maybe the things you think are set in stone maybe don't need to be and can be shifted around to kind of make the time.
I will totally shift my kids.
Yeah.
Definitely.
Well, no, but what I mean is...
good thinking, man.
When you get in from work, like with Paul, Paul's obviously made the decision that, right, I'm really into this and I am going to get up an extra 2 hours early in the morning. Okay, now, to me, that is insane because I love my sleep. But I can get straight in from work. I can make a load of calorie-controlled meals the night before. Like what I normally do is I come home on a Monday and I do a big Monday cook up of a load of food. I put it all into tubs and into the freezer. Right. So I've got 5 days worth of freezer meals that I've made that are calorie controlled. Right. I then jump on the bike, do my first session on the bike. And then the next day I come in, I take one of the things out of the freezer, put it in the microwave. It takes 15 minutes, put it with some rice or couscous or whatever, eat that, let it go down, get straight on the bike and move on. So I'm not wasting time cooking dinner. I'm not wasting time playing video games. I've reduced the amount of cooking time I need to do. So that gives me an extra 15, 20 minutes, half hour. And I get an extra bit of time because of obviously I wouldn't have been sat down on the sofa. I'm going to be on the bike. So you can nick a bit of time here and a bit of time there and, you know, make your life a bit more efficient and maybe try and make that time. You know, maybe it's just walking to and from the train station a bit quicker, you know, ankle weights while you're walking to and from work, something like that. There's things that you can add on to what you're already doing to kind of get yourself a bit more fit and a bit more into exercise.
Yeah, I guess there are certain things that I can do. So I catch a bus to the train station in the morning. It's not beyond the wit of man for me to walk that. Jogging in a suit probably isn't going to happen.
But a
good brisk walk. I mean, I live at the top of or on the crest of a valley, I guess you'd say. So I have to go down a hill and up a hill to get to the train station.
That sounds ideal.
So at least one way each time or half the journey each time, I'm going to be going uphill. I could probably, you know, brisk it up there, power walk it, whatever.
Yeah.
Ankle weights, I'm not too sure.
Well, I know, but you know what I'm saying? But it's adding a bit of resistance to it, adding a bit of resistance to the walk you're already doing. I mean, like taking the stairs rather than getting in the lift. It's all these kind of little small changes that you
definitely
can make.
That within the, you know, I'm on the second floor in my office block. So, definitely going up and down the stairs rather than taking the lift.
I think a lot of people view it as daunting because they see it as something you have to literally just throw yourself whole hog into it. And that isn't really, I think that's what Mark is saying. Mm. So that's not really the case. That's not, if it sounds like it's too much to do, then it probably is too much to do. So, and you also don't want to look around and see other people who, you know, see what Mark and I are doing and think, oh, that's what you have to do immediately. I didn't do that. I changed actually initially very little other than what I was eating to begin with. I mean, we'll get back to what you eat being what you should really focus on to begin with. But if you want to do activity, you should, as Mark has already said, you should try to make it small little things, like, you know,
small and build it up.
Walk further than you have in a day. I mean, this is where, I mean, we will talk about sort of activity gadgets and things like that at some point, I'm sure. But things like that can be real motivators if you approach them in the right way. I just think often the problem is people don't know where to begin because they think they have to throw themselves into a whole hog and completely, totally alter their lifestyle. Some people do that. For some people, that works. Cool. Great. But most people, it's too much of a shift. So you have to build into it gradually. Everything, I genuinely think the gradual approach is the better way of doing it.
It's the best way of building up habits, isn't it?
Yeah, you form the habit of doing it over a sustained period of time, and then it becomes it just becomes like a natural thing,
second nature,
do,
isn't it?
Rather than just throwing yourself whole hog into it, you know, going, I'm just going to eat a plate of lettuce a day for 30 days, and obviously that's terrible. No one should do that. That's a complete waste of time. But and that's, I think, how often a lot of people think that that's what they have to do. They have to throw themselves into it, and they just totally burn themselves out very quickly and then give up.
Yeah, well, so. I guess that's part and parcel, though, of what triggers your desire or need to start on the road. Because both of you have spoken about a triggering moment. You know, both of you had a pretty bad Christmas or a pretty bad time. And there was a triggering moment that defined when you decided, right, okay, I need to make a change.
Yeah.
Time for me has been gradual. Like, you know, that I'm not blind. I can see my waist size increasing. I can see myself being a bit slower, feeling a lot more tired all the time. And it's got to the point now where I'm willing to accept the guy I'm seeing in the mirror.
You've got to make a decision to start, haven't you?
Yeah. Definitely for me, I think the first place to look at is food.
Right.
And probably alcohol as well. I think that's a massive calorie.
It's empty calories. So I should preface this by saying that I'm teetotal. So this is a total. I can't really offer you any great advice about
always
that.
Always teetotal?
Always teetotal, yes. So yeah. I have drunk the occasional alcoholic beverage. But I think there was a point where like 10 years went by where that was the time frame. So I would describe myself as teetotal. So
I mean, when you're looking at something like, I want to say it's like a pint of beer is sort of like 160 calories roughly. So if you think that's basically an entire tin of Heinz tomato soup, you know, in one pint of beer, it calories wise, you just think, oh, that's you know, it's quite a lot. And then I'm drinking four, five, six of those
in
a night.
Now, funnily enough, and it's 138 kg.
Yeah, there you go. So,
it's worth pointing out also that even if someone didn't drink, you know, I have the problem where for me, it was like I drank a lot of fruit juice, a lot of sugary soft drinks. Yeah. So it's broadly this, you have to kind of approach them in the same way.
Well,
so,
let's talk about like sort of diet and calories. I mean, that's being the first thing you want to sort of focus on because that's the easiest thing to do, isn't it, really?
Yeah.
What kind of thing, like you say, you're eating, you know, meat and potatoes and stuff like that. But like, have you sort of taken a food diary? Do you get an idea of actually how many calories you're taking in a day?
Absolutely none. And I have no idea what I weigh either. I've not been on a set of scales in a good number of years. I've got this number in my head. I'm around about 11 stone. It's probably closer to the 14, Paul.
Right. So, as geeks, I mean, we are the perfect people for taking data and extrapolating it. So that's
graphs
the kind of,
and achievements.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
Like
and stuff like that. So you do need to get your sort of baseline. You need to know your sort of baseline stats, as it were. And kind of like you say, you need to like sort of know how much you actually weigh, how much you're actually taking in calories wise in a day or a week or, you know, whatever. And then from that, you can then sort of work that backwards and go, right, okay, well, I'm overeating by 2,000 calories in a day, you know, right, how can I cut that back? I mean, Paul, am I right in thinking it's sort of what, 2,500 calories for a guy? And
I believe it is, yeah. So I think in order to lose I believe the maths is in order to lose a pound a week, you have to create a deficit of 500 calories a day. So you can do that through reducing what you're eating in terms of the calorie content and also supplementing it with doing activity. But that can be, you can make that general activity. As I said, I think to begin with, I try not to get too bogged down in stats and numbers. Just, I would try to maybe make some efforts to alter aspects of your diet, sort of cut out some of the stuff. I mean, most people know what's unhealthy. I mean, most people know this. It's just, well, the reason we can't stop eating it is because it tastes nice and it's a trigger. So,
things taste best.
Yeah, well, inevitably. I mean, and I wouldn't advise going cold turkey on this, otherwise you'll end up like Gene Hackman and The French Connection too.
Neither of us went cold turkey. I mean, like,
no.
I took my food level down like from that Christmas meal, and then I took it down and down and down and down to where I was comfortable that I could eat. I also, with my exercise, I only started at trying to burn off like 100 or 200 calories, and then I've built that up to, you know, more and more and more as I've gone on. You know, you can't just go in and go, right, I'm just doing this, and it's really extreme. You just can't do it.
Yeah, it's a gradual thing, and I think that's really the thing I'd like to.
There's
impart.
Health impacts to that as well, isn't there? A shock to the system is
massively
detrimental rather than positive.
So yeah, if you're starting off, start slowly.
Yeah, you have to start somewhere, but make sure whatever progression you make is gradual, and that's it's really important that you approach it that way. And as I say, because that sets the debate, the framework for the healthy lifestyle. You know, this is going to be a lifestyle change. There's no two ways about that. But I don't think it needs to be a massive. It doesn't need to be this all consuming thing.
No.
It doesn't need to be that.
It just needs to be a mental shift rather than you know necessarily a physical one straight away, doesn't it? But so assuming that you have gone through and you've made your shift and you've found your goal, where you want to get to, because that's another thing I think you should focus on is where do you actually want to be? Because a lot of people sort of get into this and go, I just want to get a bit more healthy. And
I think
don't
for
really
me,
know.
If we're going to set a challenge for like this podcast going forward, I want to get back into size 32 jeans.
Right. So
I'll be happy with
34,
34 if they're a little bit loose, but 32 jeans would be my ultimate goal.
Right. So where are you now on that then?
34s are a bit of a squeeze. I've got a kind of weird body type. So my waist isn't actually that massive, but my thighs and my backside are huge.
Right.
So putting on like a size 34 jean, waist-wise, it fits. Right. But I'm kind of, you know those girls you see in the 70s movies doing their zippers up with pliers and stuff?
Sucking it in.
Yeah, I just can't get them over my legs, basically. Once they're past my legs, I'm fine, but right. I can't get them over my thighs. So, yeah, I'm a bit of a chunky monkey in the leg department.
Okie dokie. So, so to get down to that 32 waist, then, you're going to... What you're going to do is, like, you're going to have to look at what you're taking in and how you can adjust that, yeah?
Yeah, definitely.
Right.
And I think what I'm classic sort of middle 30s guy... I think a lot of it's beer belly.
Right. So you're going to cut that back as well?
Got to. It's got to stop. Yeah, definitely.
Cool. Because that's one major thing is that, like you say, you find that goal and then adjust everything accordingly, which I think is a really great way of doing it. Another good thing as well is, I mean, you're doing this with us, is having a support group and having people around you to kind of help motivate you as well. Now, obviously, you're sitting there and you've got us and we're kind of going, just do this. You know, I mean, other people might not have that. So what are other good ways of getting support in helping, getting healthy and losing weight and stuff? I mean, I know, Paul, you go to Weight Watchers.
Yeah. I mean, I think that one of the things you have to try to identify is if there's anyone around you who is putting a block on this, because often that's one of the things that happens is there are, you can, I did occasionally find there were people who were maybe not, it's sometimes even subconsciously kind of thwarting everything.
Hmm.
And you have to be able to identify the people who aren't being terribly helpful. If you're trying to do something to make this kind of change, you have to identify that as well.
I think from sometimes my side, there's definitely...
and sometimes that's difficult. It's quite difficult to acknowledge who they are, and how you approach it.
It's quite funny because there is always someone who's just like, I know you're on a diet. Like my mum, she's hilarious. She goes, I know you're on a diet and I know you're doing really well, but I've done you a fry up. And he's just like, mum, like that really doesn't help.
I was
help.
Just about to it's say, the, so it's certain negative influences.
Yeah. The D word is also a bit, a shudder. I mean, the way I would have people refer to, you're on a diet. I said, it's not a diet. This is me changing what I'm eating. Suggests I'm reducing everything. And that
suggests
at some
temporary,
point,
doesn't it?
And that, yeah, and that I'm going to at some point stop and go back to eating whatever the hell I was. Right. That's not at all the case. But it doesn't mean it has to be no fun. I mean, often the best way to handle it is to, you can make the same foods you've always made. It's just, you can make them a hell of a lot healthier. And that's often, it's a strategy employed when trying to feed kids normally to get them to eat. I mean, obviously you mentioned about not eating vegetables and fruit, and that's a different issue. But the concept of sticking more, say you're doing a bolognese, sticking more veg in it than meat, for example, is a good way of doing it. Obviously, if there are things, you know, there's going to, as with anything, people have things they don't like, whatever. I mean, if you don't eat any vegetables at all, then there perhaps is an issue. I mean, I'm not a psychologist, but there's that may be something you'd have to find a way to sort of get over. I don't know how you do that, but yeah. I think you have to accept that it's always going to be, and unless you make a change, you're always going to be in the same cycle. So something has to.
Yeah.
You've got to, something's got to be moved or shifted or got rid of. Otherwise, you're never going to get off the starting blocks. So
exactly.
it's recognizing where these things are, what these things are. So the people who might be inadvertently, as Mark said, the fry up. You know, I mean,
well, it was the classic line was from my mum. My classic line was from my mum when she went, "Oh, I've done you a fry up, but it's got tomatoes on it, so it's healthy."
Fried tomatoes.
Yeah, they're fried. You know, and the bacon's not like great. You know, and the fried slice.
Knowing my diet, this is I think I said slightly this earlier, but knowing what I eat, I'm conscious that I don't intake very healthy foods.
Hmm.
So I don't eat processed stuff. I try to steer away from frozen meals or, you know, microwave meals, all that kind of thing.
Hmm.
Especially having kids, I don't want to be shoveling rubbish and processed stuff into their mouths as well. So I am very good at, like, for instance, the fry up, I don't fry, I grill. I cut the fat off of bacon if ever I do have a bacon sandwich. All little things like that I do try and pay attention to. And I always try and cook fresh with fresh ingredients rather than grabbing frozen stuff out the freezer. So that in itself is sometimes a challenge because obviously you have to find the time to shop and you have to find the time to pick it up on a daily basis.
The thing is with all of that is that, you know, that's all great and they're all little changes and they're wonderful. But if you're piling that onto your plate and making a massive portion size of it's not doing you any favours at all. So you have to kind of look at also, well, I mean, I know, Paul, you were saying like you weigh a lot of your stuff.
And yes, set of kitchen scales, I'd say, is probably an essential purchase, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I mean, as I said, it's also recognizing what a, because I think also what happens here is the concept of what a portion of, say, rice, for example, is. It's probably got so skewed by having sort of gradually increased over the years that you don't actually know what it's supposed to be. I mean, it was a real eye opener for me when I first was told, okay, this is a portion of, you know, rice, you know, say, for example, that was a bit of a culture shock, but I wouldn't get too, I try to focus on that. As I said, I would also encourage you to try to sort of mix up the what you're eating thing as best you can.
Yeah, keep it interesting.
And as I said, I really, some fruit and vegetables would probably be advisable in some capacity because fruit juice isn't really a substitute, just to clarify here. You need to actually be the fruit,
because the thing is with fruit juices, they're full of sugars and sugars
they're full of sugars of, and they extract all the other there's all the other nutrients,
all the goodness
in them
is gone,
are,
isn't it?
Are gone.
It's processed. I would consider fruit juice to be processed, and
it doesn't always have to be, but you have to recognize that it's even if you've got a bunch of oranges and squeezed juice out, you're changing the composition of the orange, and a lot of the goodness in it is in the bits you're discarding when you just keeping the juice. So it's about realizing that. I mean, if you try to avoid processed stuff, that's great. Don't get me wrong, that's great. But I think it's probably the focus should be mixing the diet, trying to eat other stuff that's also healthy, not just sticking to the same things. So if you're a meat and potatoes guy, you might want to, I mean, potatoes are quite starchy and calorie, you know, carbs are good for, you know, we both, Mark and I, are active. You need a balance of all of these things. It's not as though carbs are bad. They get a bit of a bad rap, so you get all these stupid diets say, oh no, cut out the carbs, you don't need that. Well, you do, you absolutely do. But it's all a balance. It's a balance.
It's moderation, isn't it?
It's exactly. It's the moderating the amount of it and also balancing it out. You need some fats. You need some carbs. You know, what you don't need is, you know, loads of fat. I don't need that pizza, you know, all the time. You know, it depends on as I say, it partly depends on what your personal tastes are. But you're gonna, if you stick to doing the same thing you've always done, you're always going to stay the same. So something's got to change. So, and yeah. it's for some people, that's, I mean, that's often the hardest thing to figure out.
Well, that's the thing, as I was going to say, it must be so difficult to, you know, it is so difficult to change your diet because, I mean, I know from like, just from a, I don't know, sort of geek nerd culture point of view, everything's so focused around like sort of almost memey type foods. Like, oh yeah, bacon and donuts and, you know, everyone's talking about those kinds of things in like, you know, making bacon pancakes and all this kind of stuff. And it's like the whole culture is surrounded by talking about like food that's terrible for you.
And, yeah, video and, game and, branded Mountain Dew.
Yeah, and kind of, and it's all
Monster
being,
energy.
But I think it's all being, being venerated. And it's kind of like, at some point I sort of looked at that and kind of went, oh my God, this is awful. You know, you've got an entire cluster of people here that are being sort of semi-marketed to that crap food is, you know, what they should be intaking.
It's not even food in most
hey,
of the cases.
Hey, you gamer, get these Doritos in you. That'll
yeah,
help
get,
you.
Get these Doritos
so
in
on.
You. Get these like no cheesy poofs down your throat.
Help,
wash it down with
you
some
power. Yeah. Power through that gaming set, that all night gaming set
with some
I'm
Mountain Dew.
Of the World of Warcraft South Park episode.
Yeah, and you're just like, and you just think, oh my God, like literally, we're being turned into these kind of like big slobby messes, and it's like, oh, I don't want to be like that, you know? It's horrible to me, just to step in, out of it and going, oh my God, what am I doing? What are we doing as a culture? This has to change, you know. Very, yeah, it must be so, and it is so daunting when everything around you is that to have to, you know, to try and break out of that routine and that cycle of that culture. It's really difficult because you're just going to have people sort of always trying to foist it on you and going, oh yeah, because you know, someone's going to listen to this and go, oh yeah, it's all very well, lads. Yeah, eat your vegetables, eat your stuff. But I'll tell you what, all I want is a bacon sandwich smothered in syrup or, you know, something crazy. You know,
or people will tell you, or people will tell you, oh, it's you're just stating the obvious. I said, yes, you're stating the obvious, but if it was obvious, then everyone would do it. So you know, yeah. But it's not. We live in a world where food surrounds us all the time,
yeah.
And obviously, it's being you know, there's specific types of food, as you say, Mark, that are being marketed to people in our sort of sub community that are obviously terrible, but the marketing thing is happening all over. You know, you look at the ends of aisles with all the special offers, it's always cakes and biscuits, and you know, there's nothing wrong with those things in moderation. I wouldn't say they're necessarily there are ones that are better and than others, obviously, but you never really see a huge sort of here's a load of fruit, you know, two for one on apples, yeah. Kind of thing. You don't really see that,
no.
Because that isn't
it's not sexy and cool, is it?
It's, yeah. Exactly. So,
but you know that someone, in the comments on this somewhere is going to go, yeah, whatever, lads, just you know, have a Krispy Kreme and shut up. You know, just know it's going to happen, don't you?
And ultimately, to those people, they're only fooling themselves, really, because that's great. I mean, for you know, if someone also, I think there's a lot of the younger people, their metabolic rate is such that they can burn this stuff off pretty quickly. But as you get older, that stuff will turn.
This is something that's happening with me. I've got a brother who's 5 years younger than me who has been mocking me steadily over the past couple of years due to my increased waist size. Every time he sees me, pats me on the belly. He's going to turn 30 this year, and suddenly the explosion has happened in him as well. And he is the type of guy who eats microwave Rustlers burgers and stuff like that, and been getting away with it for a number of years.
The thing is, though, with that kind of like, I don't know, that sort of light-hearted ribbing, should we call it? Do you find that as a demotivating factor for you to, you know, to get healthy, or do you find that fires you
no,
up to
I,
really want to?
I'll be honest with you, mate. I like me and my brother have a very special relationship, and we rip the shit out of each other all the time. That's not a problem. When my mother-in-law says to me, "Hello, Matthew, you're looking a bit pompoo-y," and I've got a Thai sister-in-law, her son's married to a Thai girl. Pompoo-y means fat Buddha, pretty much, as a rough translation, and it's a term of affection in Thailand. You know, if you're pompoo-y, you're, because obviously this is a weird thing. Yeah, if you go back kind of 100 years, to be not obese but to be looking like you're well fed was a sign of status. You know, if you had a tan 200 years ago, it was really bad because that meant you worked in the sun and were therefore poor. That's why people used to wipe their faces back in the Victorian era. But yeah. So there's a lot of cultural shifts as well that have happened. You know, we've got the whole thing with size zero models, and people were now beginning to speak out against Photoshop pictures that are used on magazines. I think people in general have got this twisted view of what a normal, healthy human being looks like.
Yeah.
And it isn't a size zero person. It isn't someone who's skinny in the waist. If you go back just as far as sort of like the 60s and 70s and look at the type of men and women that were in Hollywood back then, you know, these guys didn't have six packs, the action heroes. So they had barrel chests.
This is another thing as well. It's like, if you look at Paul and I would consider ourselves healthy and fit. You know, I mean, Paul's doing his marathons. I'm doing, you know, like sort of 22K a night on a bike. Like, I eat well, blah, blah, blah. But neither of us are Chris Hemsworth. You know, we're not busting out of our shirts with ripping.
Speak for yourself, mate. Speak for yourself.
Oh, well, admittedly, I haven't seen you in the showers for a while.
Well,
but, you know. But, we're not big muscle guys who are, you know, like, look like the Hulk. We're just normal looking guys.
And conversely, you're not skinny, six packs. Pure muscle.
I think the thing to remember here is that people come in different shapes and sizes. So everyone is different. So, you know, someone who, you know, the size zero models might be unrealistic I think the thing is it's because that's placed as something that people should aspire to. And when people can't, you know, it's exactly the same, for guys with, you know, the Chris Hemsworth abtastic individual, you know, not everyone can achieve that. But you have to make the best of what you've got. But most people generally, you know, how you define looking healthy is, I suppose the point I'm saying is it's different for everyone. And I wouldn't get too hung up on it as a concept. But yes, you are quite right. When the media presents this very bizarre view of what a healthy human being looks like. Well, to be honest, I think people assume that's what a healthy human being looks like. And it might not necessarily be what was intended as such, but bottom line, everyone's different.
I guess my ultimate point to that was, if anyone's starting out on this journey like me and is going to be listening to this and coming along with us on our episodes and journeys, don't be looking at a Hollywood movie star or someone who's in the magazines, or, you know, don't look at those as your target goal to be. Have something for yourself. You know, for instance, myself, I just want to get into a size 32 jean again.
Yeah.
I'm not interested in a six pack. I'm not interested in looking like Chris Hemsworth.
Just try and go for yourself. Something realistic and easily targetable, and short goals as well is a lot easier. Like, again, with me on the bike, it was right. Can I go from 100, burning off 100 calories a night to 200 calories a night? That's a short, easy, accessible goal that I can do, and I feel like I've achieved something. You know, if it's something that's so far away, I mean, it's good to have long-term goals, but try and have short-term goals, you know, milestones to put in between those as well can be really helpful. And also, like, as well, like with the whole, just the ideas that people have in their head that are kind of slightly wrong. The thing about, like, you don't need to, like, everyone seems to think, right, I'm going to get fit, and what I've got to do is I've got to spend like 50 quid on a massive gym membership, and I've got to go down there every night and, you know, really pump the iron and go crazy. And, you know, but I can't really do that. It's really going to be really expensive for a gym, and it demotivates you. And you have to realise that none of this has to be expensive. Looking at your diet isn't going to be that expensive. You know, you're going to be cutting back on food. That's going to cost you less money at the end of the day. You know, you don't have to pay for an expensive gym membership. You can go for bigger. You can go for walks at the weekend. You can ride a bike. You can, like I say, go for runs like Paul. That's not costing Paul anything other than a pair of shoes. And, well, obviously his gym
and all the running. Other and all the other crap I've bought. But anyway,
unless you're running naked because you want to show off that gadgets, really buff.
All the other gadgets. You know, it's cheap.
But you've built up into that. That's what I'm saying.
That's your personal choice as well.
It doesn't need to be expensive. But you know, with running, as you say, I think the shoes is the really important bit. As an example, you know. But yeah, you're quite right. It's just none. You don't need to if you want to go to the gym, cool.
It's just that preconceived notion of like,
not the only place you need to go. I mean, look, if you, I don't know, Mark, whether you found this, but I've become more acutely aware of all the people around me. Obviously, I'm a runner, so yeah. I noticed people running around a lot more than I used to. I noticed cyclists and things like that. So, yeah. People are out there doing this stuff, and they just, you know, they come in all shapes and sizes.
But it's funny that I used to, I know, for my sins, and I know it's terrible, but, you know, you used to see someone running along and you think, go on, fatty. And now I look at them, I think, brilliant, go on. And it's just that different change, that change in my mental attitude to it, of rather than just like taking a mickey out of someone for trying to lose a bit of weight, I'm now going the other way and I'm like, cool, I'm good on you. Get going. You know, like, it's really good to see that someone else is doing that like me. And like you say, you see so many people now on the roads and, you know, on bikes and running, and yeah, I find it really inspiring.
No, you're quite right. You're absolutely right. I mean, as I said, I've met lots of people who've done all sorts of weird, you know, weird and wonderful things to get to where they are. And it's just incredible hearing, and it gives you, and it also, it sort of reinforces that, yeah, no, it's a sort of joint thing. You go, yeah, like, you know, they understand what it's like. They've been through this. They've been through this stuff. They get it. So, and it's all of that stuff is great. And it's all I can do is hope that it's in some way helpful to people.
Yeah.
To hear, you know, what Mark and I have been through, and you know, we have had to make some changes. I wouldn't describe them as sacrifices, which is, I think, no, that's how some might view it. But those are, you know, we've taken a decision to shift what we, you know, shift the way we manage our time and the like.
The one thing to take away from that is it's not destroying whatever's gone before it. You know, it is just shifting it sideways.
I was just going to say, even if it was to be considered a sacrifice, both of you feel more enriched and more happier and better.
Absolutely.
Individuals.
It was a sacrifice worth making. Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah. And that's probably the attitude you have to go into it with. I think going into it, the idea, like you say, thinking of it as a sacrifice and, oh God, I just want to go back to how I was. That's it. You're not going to get anywhere. You've got to go for it. You know, 100%.
Believe me, if I can get back into 32 jeans, I don't care what I have to give up. I'll feel that much better again.
Yeah, motivation is a massive part, because it can be, you know, you do have your down days, and you're always going to have down days, and the days where you just don't want to get on the bike, or you don't want to go out for that run, or whatever you're doing. But having that goal and those milestones to push for, you know, and like you say, that feeling at the end of it when you have got on off the bike and that you didn't want to be on, and you go, God, I'll tell you what, I feel so much better for having got on that bike, the adrenaline rush and the kind of endorphins that you get right that out of it as well. All these little things just go together to make you think, oh, actually, no, this is worth doing. This does make me feel a hell of a lot better about myself. You know, it's better than doing nothing at the end of the day. But I think pretty much, I mean, that's us for the night, isn't it?
I think so.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I guess hopefully we've helped you get started on your journey and answered some of the easier ways to get started. Obviously, from my perspective, I'm just about to get started. So come on me with this journey. If you are a listener, please feel free to share either your fears, your getting started, your experiences, if you've already started and you've reached a goal like Mark and Paul. Feel free again to contact us with any stories you've got. What we'd really like to see is people coming on this journey with us, especially me. So Mark and Paul have they're kind of completed in their journeys, but they're still ongoing. I don't think it ever stops.
It never ends.
So
not a bad thing, though. That's not a bad thing. It's good. Trust me.
Yeah. Everyone's just switched off. Oh, no. What have we done?
Embarking
on this infinite journey with us.
It's no big deal.
But yeah, I mean, obviously it feels kind of insurmountable to me at the moment, but I'm slowly coming around to how I can fit this in my life. I'm a 34-year-old father of three. I work long hours in London, so this is going to be difficult. But if I can do it, I'm sure anyone else can too. And clearly, Mark and Paul have done it and have taken probably more time out than I will need to get into those size 32 jeans. So, yeah, I guess, gents, contact details.
If you want to get in contact with us via email, it is warriornfb@gmail.com. Or on Twitter, it's @warriornfb. If you want to get in contact with me, it's chazzy_UK. If you want to get in contact with Matt, it is
@AshGyver. Ash as in Evil Dead and Guyver as in the anime.
And if they want to get in contact with Paul, it's
@Plexure.
So I guess that just leaves us with saying good luck on your journeys. Hope to hear from you. And from me and the boys, goodbye.
Bye.
Take care.